You know, we are in this series called The Uncommon Life, and this morning I wanted just to talk about the uncommon call that God has for each and every one of us. This is a charge to Dr. Greg Mays, but it's also a charge to all of us as followers of Christ. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ezekiel. It'll take you all the message to find that book, but it's in the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible, we have some Bibles underneath the chairs in front of you. I think it's on page 855 in that Bible. But I was thinking about this, and back in 1997, I was in the, you know, kind of at the end, in the midst of my Master's of Divinity, and just God had placed this seed in Kim and I, this call inside of our hearts, at the depths of our soul, you know, to serve Him and to share His Word. And I thought, wow, this isn't a God. This is really an uncommon call for this little boy here. And so I was struggling with that a little bit. And I read this book called Fresh Wind and Fresh Fire by a pastor named Jim Cimbala, and it was just at the right time. I had just also came through a seizure, and so physically I was kind of in struggling a little bit, but mainly just wanting to make sure that I was being obedient to God's call on my life, this uncommon call that He calls all of us to. And there's a sentence in this book that says this: I despair at the thought that my life might pass me by without God moving greatly on my behalf. I despaired at the thought that my life might pass me by without God moving greatly on my behalf. And, you know, that sentence, that book just kind of really grabbed me in that time in my life. And that really became a desire of my heart that God would continue to use me and to continue to fulfill His call on my life, that I wouldn't miss the opportunities that He would have for me to make a difference for Him and bring glory to His name. And because I really believe that God had created us to live with a single passion, to joyfully display His supreme excellence, right, in every area of our lives, in all the different spheres of our life. And about that same time, I heard John Piper preach a message about the wasted life. And he said, you know, the wasted life is a life without this kind of passion that God calls us to. And so I really believe that God calls us to pray and think and dream and plan and work, not to be made much of, not so that I'm made much of, not so that Coach Mays is made much of, but to make much of Him in every part of our life, wherever we go. And I think what happens sometimes is most people slip by in life without a passion for God. We kind of just spend our lives on trivial diversions, you know, living for comfort and pleasure, and perhaps trying to avoid sin. And as I read that sentence, as God began to continue to press in on me and His call on my life, I think that's really what He does for all of us. That's how your uncommon call is going to come in your life. He will start, I think, with a seed of inspiration that kind of begins to take root in your imagination and your mind, right? And over time, it will begin to produce a harvest of obedience for His glory. For His glory. And the whole process will take place deep in the soil of your faith and your relationship with your God. And let me just say, your uncommon call will probably flow from something you're already doing, relationships that you've already established, priorities that you're already passionate about. I think the kind of uncommon call that makes you, it's a call that makes you bold enough to ask God for the impossible, right? God, do the impossible in me. And it can come from many different sources. It can manifest itself in a million ways. And it will begin to mature over time as you walk in right relationship with Him. You begin to discover God's call on your life, His vision for your life. It's one of the, you know, I think it's one of the primary ways that God teaches us about His character. Seizing His big purpose, you know, for our lives. It's not just figuring out what God wants from you and then getting down to business. You know, I mean, we think, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get. It's more than that. It's about becoming intimately acquainted with who Jesus is. It's about really digging into the depths of who you are in Him. It comes out of that revelation that you can fulfill His call upon your life, that He has put inside of you from the very beginning, from before you were even born. And so this morning, I want us to kind of all together learn about this uncommon call on each of our lives and how to be set apart and ready to follow His divine calling. 1 Peter 2:9 says it this way, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." And then verse 21 says, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps." To this you were called. And so I believe that God has planted in each of us the seed of a divine destiny, an uncommon call. And I really believe that once you grab hold of the concepts of this purpose that He has for your life, this divine destiny that He has, there is no stopping you from wholeheartedly embracing the crucified life that Christ has called you and me to live. And each of us, if you are a follower of Christ, each of us in the process of working out our calling in everyday life. Just think about this. What we call a miracle is really just the right combination of your ordinary, your common ingredients and God's extraordinary, His uncommon expertise. And when God's super collides with your natural, unbelievable things can happen. Sparks will begin to fly. God may allow you to receive a negative report from a doctor, right? That's common. But you trust in Him in a way that causes all your close friends to see Christ clearly through your response. That's uncommon. God may call you to serve as a teacher of a bunch of heathen middle schoolers, right? Who need to, maybe you think, be caged up, and not only that, they smell, right? That's common, maybe. But He also may be providing you with an opportunity to pour your life into one of those teenagers who will go on to preach the gospel in 1,000 places that you'll never go. That's uncommon. God may lead you to stay at home with your young children, forfeiting a second income, possibly. That's common. But along with diapers and dishes and naps, you receive this gift of time to model discipline, to instill values, and to speak life into your kids so that they could grow up and maybe change a generation. That's uncommon. God may have placed you in a line of work that seems to have no eternal value and provides very little in the way of personal fulfillment. That's common. But He knows you're the only Christian witness many of your co-workers and your clients will ever meet. They'll observe what God looks like as you labor with excellence and integrity every day, sharing His love, His light. That's uncommon. So I want you to just think about that. A lot of times the uncommon call that God has on our life comes in just little small ways. Yeah, I think about Moses, right? Moses, you know, up on the mountain in the desert, his uncommon call came through just a little burning bush, right? And it was so unbelievable that Moses, God said through the burning bush, this is holy ground. Moses began to take off his shoes. And so I began to think about you and me. And I wanted to challenge us just to think about maybe the desert in which we live or the places in which we live. And begin to look around that. And it might be your office. Might be your living room. Could be your schools. Could be your church, your neighborhood. It's where God is calling you to make a big difference. It usually starts in a small way. Maybe a little flaming bush that only you will notice. And in those moments, you remove your shoes. And you draw close to God and receive your uncommon call. I want to ask you this morning, will you give the Lord permission to ignite the common stuff around you? Because if you will, I promise you, it won't be long before your faith starts carrying you into a level higher than you ever thought you would go. It's an uncommon call. And the most significant things in our life, I think, lie in our ability to serve in small ways with a wholehearted intensity for the cause of Jesus Christ. Listen, people don't come to Christ because of a great sermon. They really don't. They come to Christ because you serve them with what you have. What would the rock look like if every single member started living this uncommon life that we've been talking about? Doing the most insignificant things for the most significant purpose with a wholehearted devotion for God. What could God do through that type of obedience? And so how do we step into this uncommon call that God has called us to? How can we find maybe the hero within us to begin to live out this unique, different, uncommon life that He has called us to? When we talk about the call, I want us to understand that if we are followers of Christ, every one of us have a call, and every uncommon life begins with this uncommon call. And I think sometimes in the Christian arenas, we talk about a call as it applies to, to the person on this side, of the stage, and really it applies to every one of us, to everybody. You are uniquely shaped to live out His call on your life. And that call begins when you come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It begins right in that moment. As you begin to surrender your life to Him, every part of you, every area of your life, all of your relationships, He begins to take that surrender and fulfill the uncommon call that He's called you to. And so it's not whether you have one or not. You do. You do. The tragedy is if you miss it. That's the tragedy. The tragedy comes if you miss it. And so I always find myself coming back to this passage in Ezekiel, Coach. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel is the most unique guy in the Bible. I mean, he was remarkable, really. He was kind of this blend between a priest and a prophet, a pastor, a literary genius. He was a rapper kind of dude. Yeah, kind of like Coach, kind of like Gray. He was uncommon. people ask me to, you know, if they ask me to describe Coach Mays, I go, he's uncommon. He's uncommon, right? But I think Ezekiel's major definition is that he was this shepherd of the exiled sheep of God there in Babylon. And Ezekiel lived through one of the most difficult times ever for God's people. This little exile flock is in a new land with a new calendar, a new alphabet, a new language, a new pagan religion, you know, religions around them to compete with. And they no longer had the central symbols of their national and religious identity. They had no monarchy and no temple. All they had was their faith. And then they had leaders, shepherds, like Ezekiel. Ezekiel's. But they were having some problems. They were ignoring their job description. They were not fulfilling God's expectations. And so this little flock was wandering all over the place, away from God. And so in this passage, God says it's time for the chief shepherd, to show how this shepherding, this leading is really done. So in verse 15, chapter 34, he says, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy, and I will shepherd the flock with justice. In just this one verse, verse 16, it's really the uncommon call for all of us. It really just gives us five ways to live out that uncommon call. Let me just kind of run through them real quickly. The first is this: seek the lost. I think it's no accident that it's number one on the list. God is like the shepherd who leaves the 99 and he goes out to find the one lost sheep. And so here's what I believe. Outreach needs to be number one in our lives. It needs to be number one on it. You know, and I think so many of us put all of our energy and, you know, especially in a pastor situation, we put all our energy in the 99 and we need to refocus and make sure that we're reaching out and seeking the lost. Do you have a burden for those that are lost and without a relationship with Jesus? Seek the lost. Reach out to those lost in sin and sorrow and sickness. Find those that no one else notices. Remember the one, not just the 99. Prioritize the one. Reach out to those that are lost and that are hurting without a relationship with Jesus Christ. Second is bring back the strayed. You know, when the sheep wander away from the fold, they need a shepherd to kind of lead them back. They don't need a cowboy to kind of, you know, to drive them back. They need a shepherd just to lead them. So a shepherd must be a leader. Your uncommon call starts with your ability to lead others into a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes you may even need to carry a sheep back to the flock, to the path. He's calling us all to begin to look and to see how we can help the church, right? And come alongside one another. Find how God is leading us into the future to chart a specific path that will get all of us back from, you know, from where we have strayed. And I think this is more important than we realize sometimes, this leadership call that he has on us. It's part of the uncommon call. You know, it's even something that I struggle with. I have to remember, it's all about trying to be the best that we can be, right? For the glory of God. Try to be the best money that I can be for the glory of God. And with God's anointing combined with your unique personality, you will fulfill God's call in your life beyond anything that you could ever imagine. Third, bind up the injured. We're called to care for the hurting. sheep step in cracks and twist their legs, right? They get cut on rocks. They bite each other. They get sick. I used to think, you know, when God would compare us to sheep, because I was a cowboy growing up, I didn't like sheep boys. And so I used to think, well, you know, why care? You know, we're not like sheep, right? We're not like sheep. And then every time I learned something about sheep through life, my livestock production class, I realized, we're just like them, right? And we are called to come alongside those that are hurting relationally, physically. We're called to be healers, praying for and with the hurting, offering counsel to the confused, being the presence of God to the lonely, working for reconciliation with the estranged, building up the injured. We're called to care. And so when God places someone in your path that is hurting, the question is, do you have compassion for them? Or do you just kind of walk on by? Compassion, to feel deep sympathy, to be moved to action, this inward aching for someone in need that moves us, drives us, compels us to action. I love how every time we see Jesus having this feeling of compassion, every time it's immediately followed by a good deed. Mark 6:33 says, "But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran out front, ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things." Fourth, strengthen the weak. Sheep become stronger by being well fed and watered, and we're called to share God's word with others. The hard thing about that is many sheep don't like to, you know, they don't want to eat, right? And Ezekiel is this great example of how to strengthen the weak and to share God's word to others, to teach God's word. I mean, he was a creative teacher. He used just imagery, parables, visions, visual aids, pantomime, other dramatizations to kind of just wake up the sheep and get the message across to them. Sharing and teaching God's word is critical. It's critical in the strengthening ministry. And all of us take part in that. Doesn't necessarily mean we have to teach or preach. We can just be a greeter at the door, or, you know, be on different teams that we have here at The Rock. And every time you greet somebody or you reach out to somebody, you are a connector to the current of the power of Jesus Christ. Every time you smile and reach out to give a handshake to someone, to let them know that you are glad to see them at The Rock, you are a connector to the current of the power of Christ. So that by the time we get here to this place and I am sharing God's word, God's already been working. God's already been changing. God's already been doing his heart change in people's lives through your touch, through your uncommon call. And then finally, destroy the sleek and the strong and feed them with justice. This is kind of a prophetic ministry. It's kind of the hardest work that we're called to do, I think. It's at the bottom of the list because very few of us get around to it. And what it really means is just we're called to speak the truth in our culture, in our relationships. We're called to work for fairness and peace. We're called to hold out the biblical call to righteousness and justice, to just call people to do the right thing. It's that same call in our lives to be, you know, a deep commitment to personal integrity. And so I kind of have this standard spiel at ordinations that I do and that I participate in. And so I've decided to kind of do this in this sermon, Craig. So here it is for you. There is this Christian monastic kind of call and initiates, you know, kind of to take a vow of poverty and chastity and obedience. And usually the historic vows get at the three most self-destructive abuses that we struggle with. Issues of money, sex, and power. And so, Coach, I'm calling you, I'm really calling all of us to become a kind of a monk, right? To commit to deal with the issues of money and sex and power with integrity. Through our example, people can see how to live in relationships the right way and to deal with issues the right way. Paul says to avoid even the appearance of evil. Integrity. Working for righteousness and justice. So I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, I will bind up the injured, I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and strong I will destroy, I will feed them with justice. To this we are called. To this you are called. Church, to this we are called. So let me read this verse as a charge and as a to coach and an encouragement to each one of us. 1 Peter 5:2-4 says, therefore be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. It is the uncommon call that God has on all of our lives. Will you surrender to that?